Probably should start recording. Okay. So our normal expectations, our, you know, things that we expect to happen every day, our understanding of what is normal as we get up in the morning has been challenged. And that makes us pretty uncomfortable. You know, it makes things strange. All right? Now, if you would, you have your Bibles in front of you, turn to John chapter 13, okay? We're going to be pretty much in John chapter 13 through this whole thing. And you just heard the gospel read. You know about the foot washing. You know that we're not having a foot washing here tonight, okay? And it's social distancing, you see, and that wouldn't be appropriate for Father, you know, David and I to do that. So you can wash your own feet at home if you'd like, but this chapter, John chapter 13, is key. It is an extremely important book, or an extremely important chapter in the book of John, because it's the beginning of Jesus' final teaching to his disciples, okay? Now, in a similar way, the expectations of the disciples, the things of what they understood as normal, were being challenged, all right? So a learned teacher, a master, a rabbi, never, let me repeat that, never stoops down, puts on a towel, and acts like a slave for anyone, especially his students. And that's exactly what you heard the deacon read there, was that Jesus got up, he took a towel, wrapped it around his waist, he got down and he washed their feet. And as I said, this never happened. It was completely out of their normal expectations, even those disciples who'd been with him for 3 years already. And their discomfort at this, and this whole process, was easily and well demonstrated by Peter, of course, you know, and his reaction, "Lord, never washing my feet," you know, and then when Jesus explains it, "Oh, Lord, then all of me," you know. And basically, he is just verbalizing what they're all thinking, that this is really odd, and I don't know what to do with this, okay? So their discomfort at that whole process, you know, is remarkable, all right? And I want you to know that you're in good company, okay? Because the disciples felt that as well, too, all right? And you just had that example in John chapter 13. Now, John chapter 13 through 17 gives us a very short or very small part of Jesus' life, okay? We're talking about 24 hours at the most between those chapters, 13 through 17. And yet, this takes up almost a quarter of John's gospel, just about. So we're actually covering a very short period of the life of Christ, and yet it's such an important period that John devotes almost a quarter of his gospel to that. So I want you to understand this is extremely important, and this John chapter 13 is the very beginning of that. And how does he begin the narrative? Okay, I want you to go back and we're going to look at that. How does he begin this beginning of the end, so to speak? Well, you can see it right there. I'm going to read it to you. When Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. It's one of my favorite verses. And if you translate the original Greek in that he loved them to the end, the Greek words eis telos is translated to the end, or more literally, it's translated to perfection or to completion. And of course, you can translate it other ways. One other translation has it to the uttermost. But I'm going to simplify it and say that having loved his own, he saw it through. Okay? He saw it through. You understand, there's no greater love demonstrated anywhere than Jesus, than his life, than through his ministry, and everything that we read in this book. And this night, this Maundy Thursday night, is about his love and how much he loves us. He made himself a slave to those who were his students because he loved them. And he wanted to show them how much he loved them. Okay? And then afterwards, he gave them a love feast. He instituted a love feast that we could all participate in, that is the Eucharist, every time we get together. And then, if you keep going down in John chapter 13, he commands us to love one another. The word Maundy coming there, the command Thursday. So you see, it's all about love. And this chapter, this night, is all about love. Okay? So, with all that in the back of your mind, I'm going to tell you what my days are like right now. Okay? Now, maybe you don't want to hear about it, but you know what? He's not muted me yet, so I think I'll go ahead and keep on talking. So when I go to work, and I still have to go to work every day, I have to keep up with everything that's going on with this pandemic. You know, the latest findings and the latest treatments, listening to ER doctors talk about what they've found, updates from the CDC and the state health department and the county health departments. And, you know, they all put out bulletins to us regularly. Sometimes they were putting them out daily. Fortunately, that's slowed down some right now because things are kind of stable at the moment. And then I have to keep up with the news as well, too, because sometimes if you weed through that, and I know you've probably all done this, too, you can actually find a little bit of useful information in the middle of all that. But this can take as much as a couple of hours, like 2 hours of my morning, just to get that done. And as I go through this process and I learn about this pandemic and I read these accounts and different things that are going on, I become more and more anxious. And I'm not an anxious person, but I'm feeling this anxiety coming on, you know? And then at some point during this process, I can't take it anymore. And I just have to stop. And, you know, because my heart is just like pounding, and I just have to say, okay, that's it. I'm going to read some scripture. I'm going to read an Aslan Rohr's devotion, and that calms me down. You see, because if you go into this stuff and you read everything that's out there in the news and all of that, it will make you anxious, okay? And so beginning of last week, I started to feel like I was getting a handle on the situation, you know? Finally starting to get an idea of things. See, the last thing that I want to do is get this virus and give it to someone else, especially my family. And I know you all feel the same way. So 2 weeks ago, I stopped being in the same room or even in the same house with Kaylee, my daughter. We've seen each other from a distance. We're on this thing, and that's about it. She's pretty much isolated herself from anybody. You know, and I don't want to be exposed to this virus and then bring it home and give it to either Amanda or Daniel. And so after the example of Jack, as soon as I get home from work, I would just take all my clothes off and wash. I would shower, you know, immediately as soon as I get home, okay? And also, at the end of my shift now, I take off my scrubs at work. I leave them there, wearing street clothes, you understand, and I wash all my scrubs at work. They've let me do that. You know, that's not a normal thing for us in urgent care. And then I leave my shoes outside, okay? Now, we have to wear masks all day at work, so we were using the, cloth ones that people have made for us, and then I get that washed as well, too. I'll do that the same thing, same time. And so now, in addition to all that, I'm not staying at home. I am now staying in a little cabin that we have just down the hill from us, belongs to my cousin, and I'm using a different bathroom and sleeping in a different bed every night so as not to give the virus to Amanda or Daniel. And that's not much fun. I will tell you, it's not much fun. Okay? So, all of that stuff that I've just told you about, last Monday, I had just gotten to work, and I put on my clean scrubs, and I put on my fresh mask, and I put on my shoe covers, and I cleaned my desk, and I cleaned my computer, and I cleaned the phone, and I cleaned the stethoscope, and I cleaned the otoscope, and I cleaned the chair. And as I was sitting there, I realized that I was comforted by all of this preparation. I thought, that's interesting. And in that moment, the Lord said to me, Chris, you feel like, see, he doesn't call me Father Chris, you know, because I'm not Father Chris to him. I know you'd all be laughing. The Lord said to me, Chris, you feel like you have some control over this situation, and that's bringing you comfort. But you know it's a false sense of control. You see, this was the first time in all of this process, as this has gone on now for a couple of weeks, that I felt any comfort with this situation. Everything was changing every day. We were getting new instructions at work every day. And, I was going around with this low level of anxiety every day. And God reminded me in this moment, very gently, that I'm not in control. That I shouldn't put my confidence in my own actions and abilities to try and manage this strange time. Instead, I was immediately reminded that I have to put my trust in God. That He is in control and He will take care of us through this. I was reminded that I was part of His very body walking around here on the earth. And that He has a purpose for me and for every member of the body. And that He will gain glory through this newest play of the enemy. You know, when we say God is in control, it always brings up that question, well, if He's in control, why is He letting this happen? And people will go on to say that, I don't believe in a God that would allow this to happen. Well, you know, plagues and disasters and wars, they've been going on since the beginning of time, the beginning of mankind. And to deny God because a loving God wouldn't let this happen only robs you of His incredible comfort and His love. It's the enemy who does these things, and he is responsible for the pandemic, not God. You see, it's just like Jesus' arrest and His conviction and His crucifixion. The enemy thinks that he's winning, but it's Jesus who turns the tables and gains the victory. And He's going to do that in this pandemic as well, too. You see, it's exactly because of the strife of our lives that we need God. You see, we can't control the circumstances around us, but we can control our reactions to them. We can control our thoughts, and we can control, most importantly, our love and how we love others. We can let fear control us. We can act out of fear, and then we can react out of fear, and we'll just keep bouncing and bouncing and bouncing back and forth. Or we can let the Holy Spirit control us. And if we, as the children of God, will allow Him to work through us, then miracles will happen. You see, I believe that I've heard from the Lord, and that He told us that this is a time for the church, all this, stopping of everything, all this time right now, is a time of practice for us, okay? God has removed many of the distractions that keep us away from Him. Many of you are probably praying more, aren't you? You can nod your head, it's okay. All over the world, God is probably hearing a much greater volume of prayer. And I imagine He's hearing a number of foxhole prayers as well, too. You know, the ones, Lord, if You get me out of this, I'll do anything. You see, this time right now that we're sitting here waiting for this thing to happen, whatever it's going to be, it's kind of like going on retreat. You know, back in February at the beginning of Lent, I got to go on retreat to Mepkin Abbey. And we were there for the first week of Lent. It was a great way to start Lent. Who knew that it would turn into a Lent like this? Quite something. But, you know, when you go away on a retreat, a spiritual retreat, your idea is to spend a lot of time in quiet contemplation with God and allow Him to speak to you. And that's what's going on now in your lives. And God is preparing us. He's preparing us for that time when the power of God is going to be unleashed to help and to love people. Now, I want to share with you a prophetic word, okay? And bear with me, it's a little strange, but let me share with this, okay? You know, understand when you know, prophetic words, they usually have a meaning for the immediate time, and they usually have a time for ongoing. There's also a future time, and so prophecies can mean a lot of things as time goes on. But let me read this word to you. Okay, it goes like this. I understood in the Spirit that what the Lord was saying is that we've lived in a place of never, ever expecting certain things, or at least rarely expecting certain things, and that we were moving into a place where our expectations would be transformed into a place of faith that would be shocked if personal victory and holiness and miraculous ministry didn't happen. Okay? See, I believe that Jesus, in his ministry on the earth, lived in always, always land. He, of course, lived in personal freedom and victory, and he never prayed for anyone or ministered to anyone the love of his Father when he did not expect miraculous transformation. He always expected the Father of heaven, who does the impossible, to show up. This is the place that we are coming into in union with the expectant heart of Jesus and living by his faith. Our expectation will be always assuming the victory, the breakthrough, or the miracle. It will be a place of childlikeness, corporately, like we've never seen before. The people of good news will be anticipating good news always. I don't mean that the circumstances of our lives will always be easy or that the war going on around us won't get more intense. What I simply saw was a season when the people of God so stewarded childlike faith that they would always expect the God of the impossible to show up, just like Elijah did at Mount Carmel. God said that we were moving out of a place called Never Never Land into a place called Always Always Land. Now, in that last part, you may recognize that this was a prophecy given by Bishop Chuck, and it's been up on his website. He actually gave this prophecy in October of 2018, and this is starting to come to pass now, that we are moving into that time, and we are heading into the intense part of that, where each of us is drawing closer to the heart of God. And as the bishop's word said, you will come to a place where you will always expect miracles to happen when you pray. We will always expect people to be healed. And things will happen every time you pray for someone. He prophesied 2 years ago that this would happen. And that we as the body of Christ would have a radical shift in the way that we think and the way we act. And it isn't coincidental that we've now entered into this strange time. You see what I'm getting at here? This is the season that the Lord was talking about. But right now, it's a time of extra spiritual preparation for us. For us, it's a time to go further up and further in with Him. You have the time. I know most of you do. Even I, working, seem to have more time all of a sudden. It's odd. So spend that time praying. Spend time in the Word. Read your favorite devotions regularly. And then if you hear something from God, write it down. And I have this idea that you already are. That these things are already happening in your lives because we've noticed it happening in our life. Even though we're separated, God has unified us together in the Spirit. See, I believe we're going to come into a time when we're going to see those miracles happen. The Holy Spirit will release His people to perform miracles and healings, and we'll see people's lives transformed. God's love will be demonstrated widespread because so many people are going to be open to hearing the Word. It'll be a time like Well, you've heard of, you know, we've all heard of the incredible things that happen in Africa where everyone who's prayed for is healed, where miracles are happening constantly, because people are going to be desperate and willing to believe with nothing else to fall back on but God. See, the safety net's been taken away. And we can share the thing that we have control of, our love. We can share that thing that we understand better than anyone else, the love of Jesus. You understand what Holy Week's about. You've all been through it before. It's about the ultimate act of love that God did just for you. And so, in His perfect timing, you'll be given the opportunity to share that thing that you love and that you hang on to, your love for Jesus. And so, every day, I still wash my scrubs at work and clean my entire workspace with Clorox wipes and tools, and I check up on the latest stuff from the authorities, and I take these extra precautions at home still. But now I remind myself that where my real help comes from where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Should I stop doing all that cleaning and all that stuff that I'm doing and just trust the Lord? No. But I do it for different reasons. I do it to be diligent for the things that I can do for Him. And I find 100 times a day of things that I messed up on, and all of a sudden, up, I would have been infected there. Up, I would have been infected there. We can't do it perfectly. And that's when we have to trust God. Do I fall back into that anxious, you know, kind of fearful thing? Yes. All the time. And I constantly have to go back and remember and remind myself who is in control. It's interesting. I'll share a little side thing with you. I was listening to a Zoom thing from ER doctors, one in New York, and you know, they have to wear their N95 masks around all day. I mean, this guy in a 12-hour shift doesn't even eat or drink anything because it's that bad. And so as he's wearing his N95 mask around, you become short of breath. And everybody around the world has gotten to that place of saying, oh no, is that the virus? I've been there. Maybe you've had that too, where you felt, oh, do I have a fever? Relax. Calm down. Know who's in control. From where does my help come from? Your help comes from the Lord. So I remind myself every day who's in control. It's not the government, it's not the media, it's not the coronavirus. It's only the blood of Jesus that will win the day. His blood is streaked on the doorposts of our hearts, like the Passover that you heard about in Exodus. See, the enemy has been defeated already. And this is not a surprise to God. But I know I'm not in control. But I know who is, and I know that He loves me, and I trust Him implicitly. I can't take control and make all this better. I have to trust God. I must go deeper with Him and higher in my prayers. And it comforts me greatly to know that that very God, that same God, is the same one who got down on his knees in the filth and washed the dirty feet of these men like a slave. He loved them that much to demonstrate it. And He loves me that much. And He loves you that much. And you know that. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. Having loved His own, He saw it through. And He will see it through. He will love you to the end of time and beyond. He will see it through to its final completion. Jesus is good for that. You can trust Him. And the extent of His love doesn't stop here tonight. He does even more for us than this. But you have to tune in again tomorrow to hear that. Amen.